Welcome to the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show, presented by Hugh Hattrick. Drive fast and try not to crash. Well, good evening. You're watching the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show with me, Hugh Hattrick. Now, my special guests are yet to arrive. I was hoping they'd be here by now, but Andrew Marr is hopefully on his way on the internet. Somewhere out there, he's trying to figure out how to get onto StreamYard and make it all work. But I'm sure in the next wee while, he will come and join us. Well, it's a Happy New Year from me, Hugh Hattrick, of course. And a Happy New Year to all our viewers and listeners to the podcast and who have been watching us on YouTube over the last year or two. In fact, it will be coming up exactly a year in April that we first started with the new name of the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show. And it's been a pretty good year, actually. And we've had a nice Christmas. A nice Christmas break. We hope that all of you out there have had a lovely time and are ready now for a great 2020. So we thought we would start talking about Formula One and the season that's going to be starting. So in a little while, we will be, obviously Andrew will be here as well, and we'll be able to talk about all things F1 with the new season starting on just March the 15th. So it's not very far away at all. Now, we've also got the new Formula W series, which will be starting its second year. But of course, Jamie Chadwick is the reigning champion. And she is now, she was taken on by Williams last year to do some kind of development work and simulator work. And she's an even more, similarly greater a degree of responsibilities been given to her, because now the Formula W series will actually be counting towards the Formula One points. So in other words, for you, if you need a special FIA license to get a super license to get into Formula One, and if she does well again in the Formula W Championship, she has a very good chance of getting enough points to potentially move her forward and maybe even get her into Formula One. So that will be something. Now remember, you can comment. You can comment on our comment system here. Just give us a some chat. Here we are. This is on StreamYard. Now let's have a look and see what we've got. This is up on StreamYard. So we will see your comments if they come up, but we'll do our best. For example, I'll write something here just now. If my spelling is any good. There we are. So there you are. You can comment on our systems there. You can also follow us on the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show on Facebook. And, of course, we have our other channels here on YouTube, which is Hattrick's Orlando Holiday Guide and Cardio Advisor as well. And we have our website, which is Cardio Advisor. If you would like to support the show, you simply go over to the website and click on our rentals department, and you can organise a car rental in over 53,000 locations, and we get a small commission for doing so. So there you have it, the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show. Let's hope and pray that Andrew Marr turns up, because he's trying to get on, as far as I know. He had it all based and booked, so he should be coming any moment now, and we can get started. What I thought I would show you is a thing about Daniel Ricciardo. Now, when he joined Renault last year, basically the car was so bad that Renault was quite embarrassed and didn't really know how to take him on. And the boss of Renault basically said, our car is really terrible. And it basically left Renault naked with nowhere to hide. This is according to Autosport. So it was quite a thing, because, you know, Ricciardo did so well at Red Bull and must be one of the best drivers out there in Formula One. A lot of people really enjoy having him in the lineup. And, you know, he does some fantastic overtakes, always very enthusiastic. So there we have it. Oh, I think that is... Hey! Hello there! How are you doing?
Hello.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Right, let me just put this over there.
It looks like you've got one of those things behind you that they use, you know, for detectives to figure out who did the crime.
It was the
whiteboard.
It was you. I spent hours working it out, and it was definitely you.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year to you too.
It's good to see you.
What a fantastic new year it's been. Prince Harry has done whatever. and Meghan Markle has done him, and you know,
that's it.
We're all Trump. Trump's trumped, and Boris is Boris'd, and you know, all we need now, and the force has been with you.
I saw the film. No, I
yes,
did.
And you read my comments. How dare you? How very dare you? You Scottish man. How? What? Isn't it? Whoa. It wasn't a perfect film. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it was a perfect film. There are several things I worry about. Yeah. First of all, like with many films, Marvel Universe, all of them, they seem to have no one that understands anything helping with the film. So one minute, you've got this big spaceship taken off and they can hold it down. Next minute, they're fighting a couple of people and they have a struggle.
Yeah,
if I could pick up a Boeing 747 with the force, I wouldn't give a flying foobar about anybody with a sword, because I'd pick him up and chuck him against a rock or whatever. But no. Listen, today, right now, we need to have someone there to pick up a 747. In 10 minutes, they might be weedy and not be able to do that or whatever. But whatever, I cried. Daisy Ridley was brilliant. She's always brilliant. I love Daisy Ridley. Do you know her number? She's allergic to cats, apparently, and likes.
Well, that's just like me. I don't like allergic to cats, but
the problem is, I am a cat. I am. I speak cat.
Well, I do notice that in most of your emails and pictures that you send me, it's all of the same lady from Pitch Perfect.
Anna Kendrick. I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm not obsessed.
I thought, should I get you a Christmas card that has her on it? I thought I'll make one on
no,
what was it?
No,
on
the, no,
on Moonpig and send it off to you.
I'm less obsessed than I was, but I do kind of like Anna Kendrick. She's 5'2". She's
like
about and which is. She takes the pee out of herself constantly in that fashion about how she's small, like in Pitch Perfect 3. Not that I've seen it.
I think you've got the law.
What are you saying? You're saying I own all three DVDs and have watched them repeatedly? Are you saying I go onto YouTube and...
Is that why I can't get through to you on the phone? You know.
No, tonight it was because my business partner, Kumar, has been sort of ringing, and it's been a bit like this, because he's in Liverpool and he has no signal. And he said he's going to ring me back. Well, he's going to be disappointed, because I told him at 9 o'clock I was doing something more important. So, you know, I've actually got my... I've been trying to cook my food.
All right. Oh, well.
So I'll eat that later.
Have you seen that new logo? I put a little logo up at the top. You'll see it maybe in the top part of your screen.
It's got me laughing.
Yes, well, we were both laughing, because what I did was I had to go into the video and try and get a picture of us. And I thought, let's try and find one. And there was nothing I could get that was reasonable. So I thought, let's get one that shows us laughing, you see, because it's all about laughing, you know, with motorsport and enthusiasts, you see.
Hugh Hattrick, a dour Scotsman as you are, are you suggesting we have fun?
Exactly. Otherwise, no one's going to watch it.
Okay, right.
Well, can you hear me quite well, by the way? Because I'm using one of their...
Actually, yeah, your sound's really good. What's going on? You haven't got your...
No, I just realised that I don't have my headphones on, but I'm using my other camera to do the microphone test to be a better pickup.
You rich, self-employed car people that go to Orlando have got this fantastic ability to have second cameras.
I just because I kept the old one. But it was like $7.99 Amazon. But, you know.
Old ones. That's the... See, I had an old stereo. I bought it in 1990. And it was fantastic. It was Sony. Now, Sony have brought out a car.
Yes, I saw that.
And on what's that? Twitter.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
On Twitter, so I'm very old. On Twitter, somebody put up that Sony brought out a car, and my response was, because I'm a very serious man, as you know, very serious, I did this brown, and I said, well, it better have a bloody good stereo. That's all I said, because I'm a Sony fan. You know, I had a Sony Walkman, I had a Sony Discman, and I had a Sony Stax stereo system with 100 watts per channel, and it was fantastic. Now, if they haven't got it in the car, what's the point? You might as well get yourself a Tesla.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, isn't it? My mate used to have a Sony stacking system back in the early 90s. You know, it had the record player at the top.
Yeah,
CD,
really, that's what I had.
They were really good. Still, I think you still got it, actually. But no, that's the thing. Well, to all our listeners, we are actually live because we've started at 9 o'clock. So, yeah, I didn't want to put you off because you came in with such enthusiasm.
I thought, did you see how good I was? I didn't swear once.
No, exactly. So if we do get any money for this, we'll be all right, you know, in the future once we've got 1,000 subscribers and all the thing, then we'll be absolutely fine. But what I'll do, I will plug this in. The good thing is we can do a little bit of editing.
You haven't noticed.
Oh, you got a beer. Ah, that's quite good then. Here we go.
So I got fried bread. This is Formula One fried bread. Ready?
Yeah.
Sorry, modern Formula One. And modern Formula One beer. It has no alcohol. I'm lying. It has, but you know.
It was like Caliber. Remember, Caliber used to sponsor.
Who was the guy on all the adverts?
He was Billy Connolly.
Billy Connolly.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit Scottish.
Yeah. But did you know that, I think it was the Caliber one, or one of those teams at the time, they were actually done for drugs because they were taking... Yeah, seriously, they always brought the Touring Car Challenge to its knees. I read this on it was on YouTube, and it was on a documentary thing. That seemingly they were, it was some, I don't know if it was a Swedish company or something, but they were going over to Sweden and Finland, and they were using the testing, and they were filling up all the boxes, all the stuff that they use when they take with them to the testing, with drugs and bringing them back. And because it was to do with motor racing, they weren't being checked. But eventually someone must have found out or whatever. And so they all got done and the guy went to jail. It was quite interesting. But I have to say, I mean, there's so many new championships coming this year. So
is it just you and me then? It's Andrew and
Andrew isn't available tonight, but he's probably going to do one later on next week.
Andrew is so knowledgeable and quiet. It's better to keep the two Andrews apart. Just bless him. I felt so bad. I was talking utter nonsense last time with our end of year special, and Andrew was sitting there looking very intelligent, very knowledgeable, good looking lad, you know.
I get married this year. He's getting married this year.
What? Why?
He's engaged, you see. So he's getting married in May, I think it is. Yeah, he's taking the plunge.
Yeah,
I
did that. I mean, you've done that, obviously.
I've done that, yeah.
With the lovely Yvonne. Who's very pleasant. She was nice to me, so I'm going to be nice to her. But you know, I'm just a tad.
You've had the worst experience, fair enough.
28 years. Right. So
let's keep it up motivational. Let's give it.
Marriage is great as long as you pick the right person. Good luck.
I'm sure it'll be fine. So, let's get talking about Formula One and all the kind of stuff that's happening this year.
Hold on, I'm going to interrupt you because I think there's something much more interesting than Formula One. Uh-huh. Has your daughter started karting yet?
No, she is 8, but she hasn't got. Haven't got her in a go kart.
Getting old. Come on, 6, 5. That's when they start. Get her in there. Come on. Never mind this Jamie Chadwick nonsense and all that kind of stuff. Hat trick. I want to see a hat trick in Formula One.
Well, I tell you what, I beat Jamie Chadwick's time on Brands Hatch on GT Sport because she did a video about doing Gran Turismo, trying to beat Lewis Hamilton's time. And she only got, I think it was a 23.
Continue.
8 or something, and I got a 23.3 or 2 or something. So I've been there.
Yeah, I'm like a 10 minutes, 12, something like that. But, a friend of mine was playing GT4 on Xbox about 2 years ago, and I was watching him, and he was very good. I mean, I was very good in my world. It means he could go down the road and everything. And he was in the Nürburgring, and he went, "Come on, Andrew, give me a race." And I went, "James, it won't be good." And he goes, no. So he talked me into it. So I started playing, and it was a race of two people. He was racing down the track, taking all the lines, going as fast as he possibly could. And I was going, boing, 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 all of the Armco batteries, because this stupid... I love driving.
Yeah.
I really love driving. I'm not a bad driver in the sense... I think that if I was rich, I don't know, Harry Windsor or something like that, I probably would be quite capable. And should I make my millions with my business, I will be getting in some form of racing just for fun.
Yeah.
But you stick me on an Xbox, yeah, it's not the same. But unless you're you.
Well, I do it for fun. I've had quite a good week, actually. I was I've been doing some quite reasonable qualifying times on GT Sport this week. So I had a shot on, I think, was it Monday night? I spent about 3 hours on it. But just trying to get my times up, and I know it's kind of crazy, but it was good fun. Like I was going to say, you won't get that on any other motorsport show. Somebody eating a sausage on live TV,
Cumberland, not just a crappy one. Yeah,
that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. But it's kind of
real people. We're not like these, you know, Channel 4 people.
Yeah, nothing vegan here. But similarly, that's what they fed all. That was at the BAFTAs. What was the one they did in Hollywood on Sunday? They had them all. They had the whole meal. It was in Hollywood, and they fed them all a vegan meal.
Because they're all
into the green stuff, you see. So they think they're saving the planet by going vegan. So that's what they did.
You see, I know you and I differ a little bit on some of our attitudes towards saving the planet. I'm not saying that you don't want to save the planet. I'm saying that, you know, genuinely, the thing is what I think people watch us for is because we're both very genuine. We both maybe disagree, but, you know, you're a good guy. You let me talk my bollocks and you listen. But at the end of the day, the thing I want to get across to everyone on the planet is there's a lot of people that talk a lot of sort of, what's the word when someone talks, someone that sounds good? It talks a good game about
things. Yeah, it's like a marketing man.
Yeah.
There's nothing underneath.
So, yeah. For example, I the first day that anyone went on the old Top Gear, by old I mean the shit one with Clarkson because he's a twat, and when they're talking about electric cars being zero emissions.
No,
they're not. Where did the electricity come from that powers the batteries that powers the car? They're not zero emissions. The best thing I ever heard or encountered was on Radio 4. And it was a bunch of professors, you know, talking about how it's not a low emissions car. It just takes the emissions away from where the car is. That's all it does. It's still got to have dirty, great big smoggy power station producing the electricity.
No.
So my thing is that we're never going to get anywhere looking after any environment or anything like that until we stop messing around with marketing. You know, actually find – I'd love an electric car. I've seen footage of Bugatti Chiron, which is – little bit quick against some Tesla GT thing getting absolutely smoked by it. Oh, I wouldn't mind that. I would miss the sound of a nice V16, W16, or a V10 or a V12. Don't get me wrong, I love the sound of a good engine. But in terms of driving in speed, if they could provide me with something that goes poing like that while being electric, great. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't mind. But it ain't. It's not that simple. I don't think it's that simple. So, you know, there's a lot of codswallop spoken about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now they've got obviously Formula E to bring it to our motorsports type thing. But similarly, there it's good. It's been quite good the last couple of rounds, to be fair.
You complained about the V6s.
I know it does sound like it's like a remote control car. When there was a thing on YouTube with the starts, and they were showing you what the new one sounded like. I think they should put something in the back of it, you know, or some kind of sound system to kind of make it at least sound a bit more interesting.
And they're just not pretending it's environmentally friendly for a start, because we talked about this last time or the time before. Where does all the emissions from? I mean, people talk about Formula One being environmentally unfriendly, and Formula E being environmentally friendly. There's this much difference.
Yeah.
Because they fly all over the world in big, fuck off you, 747s, carrying all this stuff with them. Where does the pollution come from? It comes from all that. It doesn't come from these 20 cars going around and around and around and around.
Well, they all similarly now do it in cities so that it's easier for people to get to them. So that means you're not driving out to a track. But to be honest, you get the train or you get a bus.
That's good. No, no, seriously, that's great. That's fantastic. Having it where you can see it.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
Can you see the track?
I think in some places they're not too bad, like Paris and other bits, because it's all quite, you know, they have them, everybody quite high up in the stands and things. So it's not too bad.
I mean, Indianapolis 500, there's 300,000 people sitting in that stadium, yeah? They can all see the race.
Yeah, that's true.
Not bits of the race, they can see the whole race. That is a great audience show, isn't it? I mean, I've said before, the Americans know how to put on a show.
Yeah, that's true.
They know how to do that. That's pretty good. The Race of Champions, I went to one Race of Champions in Wembley. And the thing about the Race of Champions I loved is that everyone in the stadium can see everything. You get an entire race, and it's bloody exciting. It really is. Because you don't know what's going to happen, because they've set up the course that they're both doing the same distance without being in each other's way.
Yeah.
But until that last corner, you have no idea what's going to happen. There's some funny stuff goes on there. Now, I mean, I actually quite like the idea of that. Was it that London Grand Prix that...
They were thinking about
it. Bernie wanted to do. I like the idea of that. People talk about it as a weird new thing, but they used to do a Grand Prix at the Crystal Palace.
That's right. Yeah.
What's the problem? You know, they talk about the safety. Well, Monaco has been going since the beginning, and it's right there. You got these tiny little streets. Do it. Do it now. Now.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. I wonder as to what they'll. I mean, as long as you can get the people to it, and it's good racing, a proper, a decent track that's exciting, with good straights, good corners, you know, but you know, just to make it decent, you know, because they want obviously it's got to be relatively safe in those ways. But it's good if you can get the people to get there. That's the key. They never have a problem, mind you, in Britain, because at Silverstone it's always pretty much a sellout. And they have a huge crowd, something like 150,000, 160,000
on the race day. And the tickets are really expensive. That fans like you and me have been complaining about the ticket prices for Silverstone for years. And yet, like you say, it's absolutely packed out. Why is that? Why is it?
I think because we love our motorsport. I mean, I saw deals from about £100 upwards, roughly, for a Sunday ticket. And obviously, depending if you want a big grandstand or somewhere else, it's going to cost a bit more. But that's not bad, you know, because you kind of think you get a full day's racing in Britain. You don't just get Formula 1, you'll get the Formula 2, the Formula 3, and you might even get Porsche Cup, things like that, isn't it? So you're holding up the three.
You get 3 days racing,
do you? Well, you get Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
You don't get one day racing. You get, for that price, you will get 3 days racing. You get the Friday, the Saturday, and the Sunday. And it's not you know, one session, and then the race, you get all the background stuff. You get the Porsche Cup, you get the Formula 3 stuff, you get a whole day's worth of racing. I've only been to the one race in Hockenheim back in 2002. And there was not a bit of the day that wasn't filled with some kind of racing going on. Formula 3000, Formula 3. It was 140 Deutschmarks to sit at the Ostkurve, which was back in the original circuit, was right out at the far end, that bit. And, yeah, you saw very little. All you saw was, what? That's all you saw. You know, you had the big screen and that kind of stuff. But the atmosphere was, and the noise was something you couldn't replicate on a television. And like you say, you've got an entire weekend, 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, of the most fantastic show. Really, really good. And this was back in the V10 days where your ears hurt and bled if you didn't have something stuck in them to stop it hurting, you know.
You need an ear defenders to make it count. But that's what gave it part of the show, though, because it was so noisy and it was such a... I mean, when you hear them at the start and then they get closer and then they'll go away and then they'll come a bit closer again and then you'll hear the noise finally build up and then they come right past you.
Coming into that sort of... It's like a U-bend, you know, and all you heard is... So you heard them coming and going and all this kind of stuff. So you got the idea. But even, you know, there was a big grandstand there and, yeah, every kind of fan, you know. You had Merck fans with the engines. You had McLaren fans, mostly McLaren fans. You had the Ferrari fans, the Tifosi and this kind of stuff. But, yeah, it was a kind of a combination of everything. It wasn't just a simple... People think... I hate it when people condense Formula 1 down to overtaking. Just overtaking. It's like saying that you condense food down to a starter or a fork. It's there's so much more going on, you know, that... The sound, and it was the year where Schumacher broke down. Ralph was leading and could have won and broke down. There's so much going on that wasn't just the sound or just overtaking. It was everything that. It was like having everything you needed in one little race.
Yeah.
Plus, in this historic place, you know, you're in the middle of the forest and all this kind of stuff, which you don't get any more. It was magical, absolutely magical.
Well, this would be a good time to show you what I'm going to be doing next week, because a week today, I've got this person here. Can you see there, David Perrell? Now he is a South African racing driver. And I had him on the show last year, about February, March time, and he's agreed to come back on the show and to do another interview. But this time we're going to do a live stream. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, I'm not sure exactly what time, because I'm trying to arrange a time next Thursday. So it could well be in the morning or it might be a little bit later on. I can't wait, because David is really, really good. And he's had a very good year last year. Amazing life story. And it'd be great to see what his plans are for this week, for this year. So he's coming in a week's time. So for all our listeners and viewers, that's going to be coming up next week. So we can't wait for that. And we'll be putting out little tweets and things like that to let you know exactly when it's happening. Did you get... I've tweeted it on Facebook as well. So I put it on Facebook. I shared the link for the video tonight, so hopefully you got that as well.
I put a big thumbs up, you know.
That's good. Yeah, so it's all on there. So it's going to be, I think I'm hoping to, actually I've got another couple of folk who are going to be coming on. The people here, which were, that's my new picture that I've just put on at Christmas time. That's James James Kellett and Adam Croft from SimTech. From simtrack.co.uk, which is in Leeds, which is the North's top simulator center.
Is that where you went for your special day?
I'm going, but I hope to try and go back before the end of January to take part in their winter challenge, because it's fantastic. It's something you really have to go for. Anyone who's listening and you're in near Leeds or can get a chance to get to Leeds do it because it's absolutely brilliant. They are going to be coming on the show. Hopefully, James Kellett. I'm going to do an interview with him because he was Lando Norris's teammate when they drove for Ginetta. So I think it's going to be, that could be a cracker.
Lando Norris was a Ginetta driver, was he?
Yeah, the Ginetta.
Are we talking Ginetta juniors or the seniors?
Yep, I think both. I think they did both.
They are mad. Those are insane.
Yeah.
The best wrenching I've ever seen is those nutters.
Yeah.
The stuff they go for, especially at Knockhill, which is a track that you try and kill people to go around. as you would know, because they're all wearing kilts and they've got claymores. three abreast. They've got like Knockhill? They've got the...
you've got Dingledale at the start, Dingledale, and it kind of...
Which is always, left, yeah. Always fun.
That's where Tarquini crashed.
Sweep down into the... Oh, yeah. But yeah. What's the word? It goes like that. So, what's the word for that?
English. The chicane.
That's it. Thank you very much. Yeah. Well done. Hello. Not the chicane. That, Formula One, GP2, even British touring cars, they'll only ever come two abreast into that. Aye. If you're lucky. I was watching Ginetta Juniors and there were three or four abreast going into that. And they, whatever was happening, they were doing it. Insane. Absolutely insane. It's like at the age of 14, you haven't worked out what you shouldn't be doing yet because you might die. And they were doing it anyway.
Yeah, I know. It was quite a thing. But James has got some really good stories because he teaches people as well. He's part of as part of SimTrack. He teaches the people who come in. But he's got some very interesting stories as to how what he's been doing. So, and a really nice chap. So I hope to have him. There's a couple of others as well that I will keep quiet at the moment because they're quite big in motorsport, and hopefully we'll get them on in the next wee while.
Oh, so they've not confirmed yet, because I can't believe for a second that you wouldn't be saying crowing about it if they were confirmed. Hugh Hattrick.
I know them. I just haven't quite put it to them in the right way yet. But they have shown interest. So,
see, I haven't got a bomb in their bungalow yet to blackmail them. I will press this button.
Then they'll come on the show.
Mr. Schumacher, I want you to appear on my show.
But he's now 51. Poor old Michael's 51, isn't he? He had his birthday last week.
I'm approximately 50 odd, and 28. And so I know he's a year older than me, so, you know.
Aye.
What's the story with Schumacher these days, Hugh? Do you know?
His wife had released a statement saying that they are trying to do work with him. And it all, you know, everything starts in small steps and this kind of thing. So I think, obviously, there were rumours that he can get about and that he can...
So he's out of the coma, he's doing stuff, but...
Little things.
That's the man he used to be.
But, yes, and I think because he was quite, you know, he was so famous and everyone saw his every move, I think he doesn't want to come out in public until he was in a way that was kind of suitable.
Would you?
I don't know. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to say, and it's probably one of the hardest questions. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think if he appeared even in a wheelchair, you know, with AIDS there would be a standing ovation. I think everybody would be completely moved. And I, in some ways, it would just be great to see him because you kind of think these are the. I mean, he's one of the biggest historical drivers now of this era, and you kind of think, you know, we need that influence. There's not that many people nowadays that are still alive who can actually give that, you know, what it was like to get seven championships and race against all the greats. You know,
can you name a few that are still around? I'm thinking JYS, Jackie Young Stewart.
Yeah, I really like Nigel Mansell. You know, that's about the only one.
Mansell, he got the one and he's still around, but he doesn't do much Formula One stuff anymore, does he?
Yeah, I'm surprised because he's really good when he gets on TV. He's actually really quite funny and he's quite, you know, he knows his stuff. And then I once watched him doing a sim race in some shopping centre. He'd been invited to go to this big sim centre instead. Set up, and he's as aggressive as anything, right? And he gives it brand touch, and he was hearing around,
Sherlock, really.
But, But he was so good.
Aggressive.
He was so good. I mean, he was hitting the apexes better than anyone. He was cutting the corners and getting around him. So he beat everybody because, you know, they're all trying to beat him. And he still beat them all because it's on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube. This week, like Mansell racing on a sim, and I'm sure it'll come up. And he's so accurate on these things and that, and he's desperate to be competitive to make sure that he's got a chance, you know, mate.
What was that racing series where they got old retired F1 drivers starting to race? I think they did one, maybe two races.
Yeah, that's right.
He peed all over everybody.
Yeah, well, he cut up Nelson Piquet. Remember?
Yeah. Well,
he had a big battle.
The thing is, he's Piquet, who I despise.
He
I don't care
him.
How many. Yeah. Well, I hate him because of the way he went about what he did. Yeah. I mean, Piquet came up to Manson and said he hopes his wife and child died.
Goodness. I
didn't know that. Yeah, he made Schumacher look like a saint. Just smashing into someone's nothing. Piquet was an absolute bitch. I was going to say something else. But, I can't stand that kind of stuff. Race on the track, you know, it's the same kind of mind games that people do. No, I mean, it's some mind games are funny. Jacques Villeneuve, when he was doing his mind games, was funny because you know, he's Jacques Villeneuve and he's mad as a brush, and he blondes his hair and spikes it, and then goes out with Danny Minogue, and he spikes his hair when it's all going. I mean, well, I'm going, but I don't try to hide the fact. Well, he didn't try to not. Not only did he not try to hide it, he kind of pointed it out by making it spiky and blonde.
Aye.
Plus, every time he had a crash, he had a mark. He was very good friends with Mika Salo and with DC, and he spent a lot of time with those. And he used to give marks out of 10 for his crashes because basically he's a loopy Looney Tune. Do you remember that massive? There was a weekend at Spa where he was driving for that. Pile of poo, BAR, and it at the top of you got Oruz and you go up to the top,
right.
And something unloaded the back end of the BARs, and him and Zonda.
Oh yes, that's right.
Spinning, and they were spinning like a top.
Aye, and they were into the tires. Yeah,
Well, I read that his comment to DC was that was an 8 out of 10, and it was great.
Yeah.
The guy's insane, but he also comes out with stuff that no one else will come out with. So he's kind of entertaining. And the story I read of Damon Hill talking about when he joined Williams with him, you know, as his partner. And how childish is this kind of stuff? They're in the Williams Hospitality Center, is that what they call them?
Oh, yeah.
And they're eating food. Jacques Villeneuve comes up and takes all the condiments, tomato sauce, salt and pepper, and vinegar, off the table from Damon Hill, so he didn't have any. to make this point of, I'm the boss. I have your tomato sauce. I mean... That's petty to the extreme and as about as insane as it gets.
Yeah.
Hell, it's entertaining. That is properly entertaining.
Well, I mean, Hill was challenged by Villeneuve quite a bit in 96. I mean, it was quite, there were some quite close races where it was only really team orders that kind of ended up with
who was his main rival? It was Jacques Villeneuve. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. Jacques Villeneuve is a talented driver because he's a two-time Indy 500 winner, which is kind of potluck. And then he comes into Formula One and nearly wins by a couple of points in his first season and then wins in his second. Whatever. That's good. That is good. Plus, he had the mental strength to survive Williams, which not many people did because Williams... I love Frank Williams. Williams is the original team that I supported. Williams is my team. If there's any team that's my team, Williams is it, okay? As good as Mercedes are these days, as much respect as I have for Ross Brawn, setting up the Brawn and then the Mercedes teams, all of that stuff is amazing. That's fantastic. And as much as I love McLaren, who are hopefully going to do a really good job in the next seasons,
yeah.
Williams is number one.
Yeah, it would be nice to see them get back.
Oh, it'd be fantastic. Yeah. I'm kind of anti-sexist in the sense that I'm sick and tired of this thing about pointing out how women are doing well. But Formula One is a sort of a misogynistic sport, so to sort of smooth that bollocks out and just have people with arms and legs and the ability to drive regardless, I think that'd be great. Fantastic. Claire Williams, I mean, I know that she's done a really good job. I think she's done fine. I don't think she's any better or worse than any other bloke that would come with that team. But she's had stuff thrown at her like, you've had a baby, how can you? I mean, what? Off. You know, it's like saying, I've got a toupee, how can you? It's just ridiculous. It's irrelevant. But I'm hoping they do really well next year. But they've always been very dismissive of the drivers.
They tended to fire them even after they'd won titles, which was kind of crazy. I mean,
Damon Hill, bless him. You know,
Mansell. I mean, he won in 92.
Yeah.
Prost, well, he kind of resigned, didn't he? He kind of retired in 93 when he got his final title.
Bye. Villeneuve was never going to be one of them. Villeneuve is way too canny to do that kind of stuff. So you've got to respect that kind of strength of character.
Did he not go to BAR in 98 after he'd won his title?
Yeah, he didn't go to BAR. BAR was his team.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the point. He always had this idea. He always knew that he wasn't going to work for somebody else. He's working for himself. That's why he was always in BAR. BAR had the biggest, I mean, had more money than any other team. Even Ferrari, I think. Yeah, because it's British American Tobacco.
Yeah.
Huge sponsorship. They had one of the biggest budgets in Formula One.
Right.
They had an Indy 500 winning designer. I think it's Bobby Rahal. Not Bobby Rahal, was it? Penske designed the chassis and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. They had all this money thrown at it. And they came into Formula One going, we're going to win by the end of the season. And, of course, they had Jacques Villeneuve.
Yeah.
And it took them 10 years to get a win with Jenson Button.
That's right. Yeah.
And that is part of the story of why I continue to love, shall I say, Jackie Stewart.
Yeah.
Because JYS came in with his son, Paul, with Stewart Grand Prix team, going, we won't win for 5 years. We won't even score points for 5 years. We know how Formula One works, and you've got to build up, and you've got to develop, and you've got to carry on. And was it, they got points by the end of the first season?
Yeah, well, they did. Yeah. I mean, they weren't in that long before they won. I mean, they had quite a good, when you consider when they sold it to Jaguar, it was a miss. but it went downhill.
No. It was not a miss. That was a hit.
Why? I mean, yeah, Jackie Stewart did pretty well out of it. I mean, they did do extremely well, but they went downhill quite quickly when Jackie Stewart went out of running it.
That was because of Ford. Yeah. That was because of the way Ford run things by committee. Jackie Stewart knew that they would not be able to compete as an independent team.
I
know this. I've spoken to the guy, okay? Mm-hmm. And he said, I knew, because they had, I think they at the time, they had the second highest sponsorship deals of anybody outside of McLaren.
Yeah, well,
because Jackie Stewart is a genius. This is a dyslexic guy told he was thick as anything in school. Going around the world, he got the country of Malaysia to sponsor the. I mean, come on, guys, articulate, he's a capable man. You could tell that with his driving because his driving wasn't just I can drive. He worked out how to. He coached Francois Servier into being as good as he was.
So
he taught him how to drive. He taught Rubens Barrichello how to drive.
He taught James May how to drive. on the
Exactly.
He took so was it 20 seconds off his time or something?
Yes, he did.
From this morning to the evening. Basically, which I think is impressive.
Because he understands what he was is that with Barrichello, he realised that Formula One drivers don't get any coaching at all after they go leave karting or whatever. And he had I think it was a Ford RS2000 or a Cosworth, I think it was an RS2000 on his own private track, all set up with all the telemetry and all this kind of stuff, so that he could tell all the steering handles, opposition speeds at any point on the track. And he took Barrichello and he taught him how to be consistent. He taught him the mechanics of driving. This is a very clever man. That's how we got three world championships. That's why he was one or two points away from being a five times world champion. The man, I don't respect people for just being there. And this fella was awesome. Awesome. He got into a racing car, hiding it from his mam, because his mam didn't want, because his big brother, he's 20 years older, was racing, and everyone died in those days, and his mam didn't want anybody else to race. Didn't want his little boy to race and get killed. So he raced in touring cars under another, literally.
Yeah.
And then he got introduced to Ken Tyrrell and was plonked at Goodwood in his Formula 3 car.
Well,
the guy he was up against was Bruce McLaren. And Bruce McLaren, was top Formula 1 driver of the day, gets in his Formula 3 car, they do Goodwood, and Jackie Stewart takes 3-4 seconds off of his lap record time as a rookie. Bruce McLaren goes, "Oh, I'm not having this." Jumped in the car, and they have this battle all day. The lap record for Goodwood is still held to this day by Jackie Stewart because the track closed.
That's right, didn't it? Yeah.
But then you look at all the stuff he does afterwards. He's a very intelligent, considered man. He's worked out how to do business with people. He went with Ford to develop them, promote the products. Mm-hmm. But then he ditched them when they started becoming too money-oriented and not quality-oriented. He won't put his name to anything that's rubbish.
But then
him and Paul, his son, started this Grand Prix team with exactly the same attitude. This attitude of it's got to be right, because if it's not right, it's not worth doing. And you get the Stewart Grand Prix team. And, Jackie Stewart, this big, hard Formula One man and shooting, champion, multiple champion for Clay.
That's right.
He's crying his eyes out on international television because he's won his point. I've got nothing but respect for that fella. There's nothing that man could do now that would stop me from respecting him, because he's the complete package. Bit like Schumacher was he's been compared with Schumacher because they could do lap after lap after lap at exactly the same time. Consistently they knew what the car was doing, they knew why it was doing it. That's the thing. How do you know why you're going fast? He knew why he was going fast. Stuff like this. Wow. What a guy. I'd love to meet him again. I'd love to have a proper conversation over a pint with the man. I only met him at his book signing and I forced him to have a 5-minute conversation with me. He was like,
"All right, well, we met him when he came to open the Jim Clark Motorsport Museum last year. And, the thing was, he got everybody's autograph, in terms of everyone who was in line, he did it for everyone. He got them their autographs and so on. He never left anyone waiting. I mean, and he did it for ages and ages. And even when he was having lunch, he still spoke to people. And seemed really kind and decent. And I remember seeing him way back in 1991 with David Coulthard when he visited one of the schools. I don't know if it was Loretto, but we went to this school to watch this big thing about Formula One. And at that time, David Coulthard he was just about to join Formula One. And it was quite interesting. And Jackie Stewart was there, so they were talking about safety and all sorts of the current kind of situation at Formula One at that time, which was incredible because, at that point, Senna was still alive. You know, you had Prost, Mansell, right. Alesi, right. all these ones kind of racing against each other. And it was a very exciting time because we were all desperate for Mansell to finally win something. And, of course, the 1991 title had been really close because Senna had won it, but Mansell had given him a real race of it. And at one point, because I think Mansell won, was it France, Britain and Germany, and then closed within about 8 points of the title. And then I think Senna won in Hungary, and it kind of, but it was pretty close overall. It was a real kind of, I think it went right up to Suzuka when Mansell crashed. I think he put a wheel on the dirt or something, and he was coming into the first corner at Suzuka, and he crashed. He went off, and then that was it. So Senna won it. But it was, you know, it had given us real hope. And then they looked at the car next year, 92, which because it just drove away from everybody. And, you know, it was an incredible car. But that's kind of what we want. And I wonder, I think this year we're in for a treat for Formula One, because I think it was very close last year, although Hamilton just had that incredible consistency. I mean, you have to admit, Hamilton really won it. I mean, he put, you know, to win all those races. But the thing is, he won them from points where he wasn't even as competitive as other drivers. Yeah. When the Ferraris were stronger, you know, they were putting it on pole. They were quicker on the in race trim. The Red Bulls were quite good at certain tracks, but Hamilton came out of nowhere, better strategy and just consistent overtaking and obviously his experience. So I think this year, I think we could be in for an even better one. I think Red Bull could be right up there, and I think Max Verstappen could be a bigger competitor.
He's signed to 2023, is he not?
Yeah, he's just extended it to 2023. So I think it might not be Ferrari that's the main competitors again. I just don't know. I think with Vettel and with Leclerc, I think it's going to be...
I'm hoping for a three-way fight. I've got a lot of time for... what's his
name? Leclerc or Vettel?
The Italian, the manager.
Oh, Montes, no, Montanelli.
Not Arriva Bene, he was the last one, wasn't it? Is it Arriva Bene?
Maybe it is, aye.
The one that's and I actually like the guy a lot. There's been lots of criticism thrown at him in the media. But the thing is they're pulling together a bunch of mad Italians, you know, that are all passionate. I mean, I got a lot of information from Ross Bourne's and Adam Parr's book about Formula One, you know, Formula One, total competition, talking about how the Ferrari team was, how it operated. With an internal competition. You know, you've got the engine division, you've got the chassis division, and they're fighting against each other. And you know, look at McLaren. I mean, sounds like I'm going off on a... Look at McLaren. Look at Andreas Seidel, right? He's come in. Now, back in the day when McLaren were very successful, they had the voice of Ron Dennis.
Yeah. Who's disappeared.
Thank God. Nobody enjoyed working for that team because it was like working for a cardboard box. There was no... You weren't even allowed to have a picture of your own children on the desk you worked on and stuff like this. It was all Ron Dennis. You know, bother boy, we're doing it this way. Now, Andreas Seidel's come in. Now, the guys had serious success with Porsche and all this kind of stuff. I reckon he is the reason why that team is doing as well as it did last year.
Yeah.
Watch McLaren next year. 2021. Because Andreas Seidel's got the nous to understand, just like Ross Brawn did.
They were
competitive, quite competitive. You know, they were okay. Schumacher and Lot and Rosberg were doing quite well for the years up to 2014 when the rules changed.
Yeah.
But Ross Brawn knew. He knew everything was about 2014.
Yeah.
I get sick and tired of it. I'm a massive, massive Niki Lauda fan. Huge. Yeah. Like you wouldn't believe, okay? The guy was amazing. And I love the fact that his first name was Andrew and that he was... He never bullshitted. I love that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I've said this to you before. Ross Brawn has been written out of Mercedes history.
Yeah. Aye, because it's kind of it's all it isn't. Yeah,
he made that team. Whatever the hell they're doing now is because of him, not because of what's his name? I've forgotten his name. Big fella, married to Susie Wolf. Toto Wolf.
Oh yeah, Toto Wolf. Yeah,
Toto Wolf is British and a really good job of managing that team, but he did not set that structure up.
Aye, yeah. When Ross Brawn, incredibly successful at Ferrari, off to you know.
The 1 year they existed, they got a world championship. Come on.
Yeah. Well, they had no Honda engine. Remember, Honda pulled out. So they had to just put the Mercedes engine into it. And normally that takes a while to kind of change a car to take that, accommodate a new engine. But and they still won.
It put into a chassis that was the responsibility of Ross Brawn. Who got the Mercedes deal? Was it Toto Wolff? Was it Niki Lauda? No. Who got Lewis Hamilton into Mercedes? Was it Niki Lauda? Was it Toto Wolff? No, it bloody wasn't. Every single report I remember from that year was talking about how Lewis Hamilton was an idiot and he had been taken there by Ross Brawn. Every single report, journalist.
The funny thing was he did quite well, even in 2013. I mean, he won races. He was, you know, for what the car could do,
Do you remember the double diffuser? How clever was that? To balance the car, everyone else is doing the F-ducts and all this kind of stuff. He had one that was front and back, so it balanced the car while it was braking. What a clever man. And he set the team up. He had to remove people because of monetary constraints and all this kind of stuff. He set that company up ready to win, and it won. And then they kicked him out because of politics. Toto Wolff was very clever. He was very, very clever. He sideswiped Ross Brawn. And he's done a great job. I mean, I don't want to take away from the job that Toto Wolff has done, because he's had the nous to continue on the same attitude of management, you know, when he's on that screen and he's talking about, they say, well, what you can do about this, what you can do about that. And he says, well, we don't think like that. We think race to race and we think about doing the best job. And that is actually the best way of managing anything if you want a success.
Yeah,
if you think of the worst manager in the world, they micromanage every tiny little thing, and they whinge about stuff they think you're doing without any understanding. That's the worst manager in the world. Why do you work for yourself? It's because of these arseholes that used to tell you what to do that have no idea. He does not do that. And you can see the passion in the guy for motor racing when he goes ballistic about stuff. And we used to love hearing Niki Lauda talk about this happened and it's shit and it's... And then he would go, oh, I got that wrong. But heart on his sleeve, he was a real man. He was a real person. You wanted to hear what he had to say.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Ross Brawn was the same. Ross Brawn was the same. The reason I love Ross Brawn is that in the days when Schumacher was in Ferrari and I despised him, Ross Brawn would come out and he would go... Yes, our tyres are falling apart on this race. And then they go, huh? What are you telling us out for? And he goes, well, everybody knows. All the teams know. Why would I hide it from you when everybody knows?
Yeah.
Stupid. They'd ask him a question. If he didn't want to answer the question, he would say, I don't want to answer that question. Perfect. I mean, I don't mind not hearing the answer. What I want to hear is the honesty of the guy on the other side. In those days, Christian Horner used to go, and all I would ever hear was blah, 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 blah. Now, he's changed. He's a lot better these days. He's a lot more honest.
Yeah, I quite like him, yeah.
But he used to be full of shit. It was just blah, 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 blah. And you're like, come on, you know. Something or shut up.
I'm slightly conscious of the time. It's nearly an hour since we've been starting. Just for our listeners, we've been going nearly an hour since I started at 9 o'clock.
Woo!
Before you came on, just a few minutes before you came on. So that's all right. No, it's fine. But just conscious of those who are listening, I'll put it together for the podcast as well, that will go out on Podbean and things. Who is your favourite, or you think might possibly win this year? For Formula One,
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, okay, my sort of sum up: lots of stuff gets thrown in the way of Leclerc, and apart from my wonderful joke about going, "It is I, Leclerc," from hello, hello. And I wish he'd do that, because that'd be fantastic. I think it's a talent. Well, why wouldn't it? It is I, Leclerc. I have overtaken Vettel. He's obviously a great driver, but how many other drivers? My point is this: how many of the drivers in that field of 20 would be as good as him in a Ferrari? You don't know. You've got Russell, who's brilliant. I think he's really good. You've got Ricciardo, who I have adored since he first came in, and peed all over Vettel, just like
his Leclerc. And Renault could be a bit better.
Well, if they could get better, I think Ricciardo is the guy to take you've got McLaren, I think, are going to be a real threat this year.
Yeah.
I honestly think they're going to be a real threat this year, if not in
2021. Can you name a driver? Can you name a driver that you think?
Yeah, it's going to be Hamilton. It's going to be Hamilton or Verstappen.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think those two. I think Hamilton might just do it, but I think it might be a lot closer than people expect.
Red Bull are amazing, and Honda is doing some amazing things with them. If they can get the engine that they didn't have last year, which was so much better than the one they had the year before. The engine that can match the Mercedes, because the Mercedes engine is not as good in comparison to the others as it has been. If Mercedes raise their game and are as consistent as they have been, the thing is that people have criticised Hamilton for lots of things. Some of them has been fair enough. Some of the weird stuff is going on. I'm on Instagram and he got a picture of him doing stuff, and you're thinking, oh, who cares? You're wearing a snowsuit, get lost. But you stick him in that car, man, and the reason why he won last year by such a commanding margin wasn't because he was the best driver. It was because he was as good, if not better, than anybody else, and so consistent.
Aye.
Wasn't he?
If
he wasn't the best in the race, he was like third best at worst. Come on.
He was pushing. Well, at the US Grand Prix, where Bottas was on pole, and I think that Hamilton was fifth or sixth to start on the grid. And by the end, he was challenging for the race win. He was up to third and up to second, and really kind of showing how good he was.
Why is he like that, though? What's his motivation? Do you think it's to win championships?
I think he loves racing.
He loves racing. Yeah. All this criticism about all these people saying that he's false and he's like this and he says he's bollocks. I don't believe it for a word. I think we had that conversation about the nonsense that was coming out about veganism and all this kind of stuff. And do you remember me saying, I actually think he believes what he's saying?
As it is.
I think he actually believes it. And he's racing when he's performed badly is when he's not enjoying his racing.
Yeah, you can kind of tell because he moans and complains. But that's the thing.
And doesn't do well. If he's enjoying his racing, I think the thing that when McLaren was middle field and he was in it with Button and not winning, he relearned how to love racing, win or not.
Yeah.
If he has a good race, he has a good race. Doesn't matter where he comes. If he has some good battles, he has good battles. And that's his strength, mate. That is honestly, that is his biggest strength. Because Leclerc, Verstappen. I think it's a big strength of Verstappen. Because Verstappen loves his racing as well. I know he's a complete little snot, and I want to slap him.
I think
really loves his racing. He likes a good old battle. And even when he was it Mexico, when they were wheel to wheel bashing each other off, both of them loved it. They don't give a damn. They are the battle of the future. Yeah. Leclerc, maybe, maybe not. Verstappen and Hamilton are going to be the battles of the future.
Yeah, because I do think that Hamilton hopefully has a good few years in him left for racing. I think at least another couple, two or three at least.
Two years max.
Do you think? I mean, at that point, he would have been in for 15 years or about 17 and however many seasons.
Not about the 15 years, it's about what else can I do.
And he is very, very good at that.
No suit to put on.
I'm going to call it a day, but stay on the line because we'll chat after the broadcast finishes. But you've been listening to the Car Sim and Race Driver Show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my very special guest, Andrew Marr. Thank you so much for listening and so much for watching. We really appreciate all our viewers and all our listeners for their comments, for your messages, for giving us a great review. It's all very kind. We hope you've had a great start to the new year. And remember that next week we'll be interviewing David Pirrell, the GT Bloemfontein driver, and one who's been one of the most successful out there. And so we can't wait to get him on the show. So that will be next week. So remember to tell all your friends and come back and listen to the Car Sim and Race Driver Show. We will see you next week. Bye just now.
Drive fast. Don't crash.
Exactly. Here we go. I'll just end the broadcast. At cardealadvisor.co.uk, we can help you save thousands of pounds on your next new car or van. And we can also source second-hand cars as well. And we can save you money on car rental, whether it be in the UK and abroad. Just click our rental link on the website. And we'll give you a free gift if you trade in your car with We Buy Any Car using our special website link. So go to the website now and see how much you can save. And it's back to the show. Thanks for listening. For more information, go to cardealadvisor.co.uk and you can see all the special offers that we have on the website. And remember, we have our YouTube channel, which is at Hugh Hattrick. And also, we have our podcast on Podbean, on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Anchor FM. And if you like what you hear, please like and subscribe to our shows, or you can donate every month for just a pound. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.